listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire, broadcasting to you from Southern California in the United States of America. I want to talk about censorship of the truth, censorship of the mass media, all forms of communications media. So in our time, that would include the internet, social media platforms, video platforms, audio platforms, podcasting, so on and so forth. But then it would include what's called the mainstream media, which would be like television networks, cable news networks, entertainment channels, episodic TV channels, local television channels, network channels like, you know, 2, 4, 7, and so on. And then, of course, as we said before, the cable news network channels. But then all the entertainment media, that means film, that means rock bands, it means country, it means pop, hip-hop, rap, a whole spectrum of musical and singing and star entertainment. And that's just the tip of the iceberg, because here in the United States of America, and I'm sure you have something similar wherever you're listening to me, so for example, if you were in Great Britain or France or whatever, there would be something similar. It just would go under a different name, or it may not be named at all. But, you know, let's just flash back to one symbolic message, a visual symbolic message that basically says what I'm about to talk to you about, which is the American CIA program known as Operation Mockingbird. Now, that's not a conspiracy theory, because right in front of me, I have facts on it. I have the congressional hearing on it. It's real. It was real. They say it's no longer real. Well, I'll leave that up to you. Is it no longer real? Is it no longer in existence? You answer the question. I'll give you information, and then you have to answer the question. Now, where I want to focus in on is this fact that has to do with a now relatively well-known secret government operation known as Operation Paperclip. We have numerous governmental and CIA intelligence agency type of operations that are classified or secret. But then, as time goes by, they declassify segments of things like Operation Mockingbird. Now, Operation Mockingbird, first of all, if you listening or anybody you talk to in a conversation and you bring up Operation Mockingbird and truthfulness in the media, and let's say their response is to call you a conspiracy theorist or crazy or a liar, you know, and they start to mock you and stuff. I just said that they started to mock you and stuff, and I realized that that's like the word starting to mock you is directly connected to mockingbird. I'm not going to go any deeper than that, but it's interesting. They're starting to mock you, plays off verbally with the CIA operation known as Operation Mockingbird. And what is Operation Mockingbird? Well, Operation Mockingbird was a top secret government operation basically headed up by the CIA. And they had a job, a mandate. And many of these mandates began to come into being starting in the year 1947 with Majestic 12. 1947 was also the end of World War II and the defeat of Adolf Hitler. 1947 was also when another secret operation was conducted by our government called Operation Paperclip, where our government secretly smuggled into the United States of America over 10,000 Nazi mind control, Nazi rocket scientists, and Nazi genetic scientists were snuck into the United States and given positions, given the highest level positions in the military-industrial complex. All these secret operations. By the way, Operation Bluebeam, which is using technology to control people's minds, using technology to give people technological and hypnotic religious experiences, like the voice, hearing the voice of God, but it's not the voice of God, it's all synthetic and simulated. So, I want to get into this, because you see, when you talk about this stuff, as I do, and I interweave this with Bible teaching and teaching on the book of Revelation and teaching on science, etc., etc., you say, well, why do you do that? Because I operate from a biblical premise. I operate from a biblical worldview, which simply means that I believe what Jesus Christ said literally. He said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Jesus Christ was not simply talking about religious truth. Jesus Christ was talking about truth in every area of life. If you know that truth, whether it's scientific truth or economic truth or biological truth or whatever, if you know that truth, you will be set free. So a biblical worldview is the mental worldview that every true Christian should have. If you say to me, you're a Christian, but you don't know anything about the pros and cons of the vaccine or the pros and cons of COVID, if you don't know anything about that, I'm not talking about pretending a medical doctor. You're a medical doctor. I'm not a medical doctor, and therefore I don't give medical advice. But because I adhere to a biblical worldview like you do, I'm responsible before God to know the truth in these areas, at least to a certain percentage degree. And you have the same responsibility. When you meet a Christian who has allowed themselves to become dumbed down, who doesn't know the facts or the truth about the things I just mentioned, that Christian, please listen to me, that Christian is in direct violation and disobedience to Almighty God. Why? Because they have chosen to disobey God and they have chosen to reject a biblical worldview. And when you reject a biblical worldview, your head becomes like a wind tunnel. And the wind blows and it blows in one ear and there's the roar of the wind rushing through a hollow area inside the interior of your brain. The wind rushes in one ear and rushes out the other ear as if it was moving through an empty wind tunnel. Because a wind tunnel allows the wind to go through it because there's nothing in it. You are a son or daughter of God. There should be plenty in your brain. And you should be able to think with a biblical worldview, which means with knowledge, with analytical ability, with thinking ability, with cognitive abilities. You should be able to employ those as you think and analyze and make decisions about any important subject, whether it's human sexuality, human nutrition, human health, human education, whatever it is. If you're just an airhead, then you are, to cut it short, you are cheating God and cheating your children and cheating the next generation, cheating yourself. Because God came to the earth through the form of his son, Jesus Christ. And one of the things that God gave you was the Spirit of God, which is the Spirit of truth. And by this will we know all truth through the Holy Spirit. And also, you've been given by God the mind of Christ. So if you're walking around like the town fool, which unfortunately many Christians walk around like the town fool, you are, and I don't mean this to be unkind, it's just the truth. You are the proverbial idiot, okay? And nobody respects you. And you are bringing through your stupidity, because you see, you're responsible for whether you're stupid or not. It's not rigged by your DNA. You choose to be smart or you choose to be stupid. And it's all a matter of what you choose to input into your brain and what you choose to reject or not put into your brain. To the degree that you're putting into your brain knowledge and power and facts and truth and history, it's to that degree that you acquire knowledge, which is power, and it's to that degree that you can be effective for Jesus Christ. When you have a fully functioning mind of Christ. Okay, so here I'm looking at a government report. By the way, I wrote a lengthy article in quotes in my book, which you can get right now at a discount, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World. And I have in that book an entire article written by a former head of the CIA who openly came out and said that they are already using the former head of the CIA has gone on public record, and I have the whole thing printed out in my book, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World. Now, he didn't tell the whole truth, but he told a big part of it. And he admitted that we are using, our government is using massive weather modification weapons on a global level to, quote, in his words, to combat climate change. So when you look at the strange and bizarre weather, they can call you a conspiracy theorist all they want. That strange and bizarre weather is the product of weather modification technology. It's also, which he did not mention, a product of weather modification mind control technology. So I'm going to read you something, the beginning of this report. Whenever I write a book, I have to have multiple sources of truth. I just don't take somebody's word for it. So my research on this began a long time ago. And I want to start by reading a report to the Select Committee, or a hearing before the Select Committee on Intelligence of the United States Senate, 104th Congress, second session on CIA's use of journalists and clergy, that means pastors, in intelligence operations, Wednesday, July 17th, 1996. Now, what's interesting about this is that the CIA is openly admitting that they use journalists, media people, religious leaders, and clergy to spread the information that they want to spread. We'll be back in just a moment. This is the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us, and we'll be back in just a moment to talk about the CIA's role in spreading this disinformation. You are now listening to the Paul McGuire Report. This is Paul McGuire. Okay, so the vast amount of information the vast amount of data, content, facts, opinions, news analysis, what story to cover, what story to bury. The entire Orwellian Big Brother 1984 media control by the CIA and other intelligence agencies. When I discussed that in the conference, a radio interview, a book or whatever, I depending upon where I'm speaking, I will be challenged. I don't mind being challenged. The reason, and this is not arrogance, I don't mind being challenged because you see, and you know this too, when you've done your homework and somebody thinks they're throwing you a curveball, it's no big deal because you've already done your homework. You already have, everything I research from multiple sources. So I'm, and by the way, something you should know about me, most often when I'm presented with what some people would call a conspiracy theory or facts that appear to be unusual or whatever, most often my instant reaction is I reject it. Most often I say, that's just, you know, some Area 51 UFO website. So when I'm confronted with something that's like bizarre or whatever, most often I reject it. Most often I'm skeptical. I am not an easy sell. Most often I am suspicious of the credibility of the source. So I am not willing to accept it. I'm not willing to speak about it. I'm not willing to write about it or do a conference or video or whatever or a media interview about it. I'm not going to do that unless I've double-checked, triple-checked, and usually, as time goes on, I'll check 10 to 15 times, dipping in and out to see whether or not something is true. And if I should find out later on that something isn't true, I'll retract it. I won't stay with it. And as a cautionary side note, you and I need to partner together in, number one, speaking the truth in love. Because you see, if we speak the truth, but it's like clobbering somebody on the head with a hammer, that's counterproductive. Speaking the truth in love means we're communicating the facts and truth to people, but they know we're doing it because we're motivated by love, we're motivated by the fact that we really care for them. They can sense that, and therefore they trust us. If we speak the truth in love, as so many Christians do, just to get a one-upmanship over somebody, just to have bragging rights, just to be able to walk around, you know, in an arrogant, proud, and snotty way and say, you know, I'm the great and mighty Wizard of Oz, you're not speaking the truth in love. You might as well go home and keep taking your nap. So I almost always, when presented with many of these facts, because I research a huge diversity of material, I reject what I'm presented with. And it's only after discovering numerous different credible and verifiable sources, then I'll say that this is true or that's not true, or I'll say I don't know. Now, if we go back to this government meeting, government report, this was heavy duty and explosive. And it's entitled, "The CIA's Use of Journalists and Clergy in Intelligence Operations." And it was a hearing given before the Select Committee on Intelligence of the United States Senate, 104th Congress, second session. And the topic, of course, was CIA's use of journalists and clergy in intelligence operations. Now, the first part of it is the CIA in this hearing before Congress openly admitted that they, on a widespread level, were using people in every area of the media, from the heads of networks to the owners of networks to directors, producers, writers, stars, rock and roll stars. I mean, the CIA was using a galaxy of massive numbers of stars and media personalities and journalists, et cetera, along with pastors and religious leaders and clergy. The CIA was using all this, these people to disseminate propaganda, disinformation, and to spin things the way that they wanted it spun. So this meeting was held July 17th, 1996. Now, before we go into some of the bullet points, when somebody argues with you and calls you a conspiracy theory and they start to rant and rave, and most often they lose their temper and have some form of an emotional temper tantrum. Why? Because they don't, in the core of their being, they know they haven't done their homework. They know they don't have the facts. So what human beings do religiously, no pun intended, when they don't have the facts is they start to have a meltdown, no pun intended, a global meltdown in their minds. And they call you names and they scream and yell and they foam at the mouth. But when you pin them to the wall, which I have no theological problem doing, by the way, the goal is to win the hearts and souls of mankind before Christ returns, okay, and to speak the truth in love. But if somebody is opposing me from an insincere perspective, if somebody else is trying to dominate the conversation to lock the truth out, I will move my internal modality and strategy from speaking the truth in love to speaking the truth in love, but employing psychological power, psychological force, spiritual power, spiritual force, and innate, learned, and trained techniques that I've absorbed on how to communicate, how to win a debate, and how to expose the lies and fallacies of somebody who's attacking you. I'm not bringing this up for the point of bragging, but I was on the Fox News Network for over 10 years straight on their biggest programs with their biggest hosts, multiple programs. They would send Fox News Network would send a limousine to my house or a limousine to the radio studio that I broadcast from. And I was on continually as a guest expert. I would debate economics. I would debate foreign policy. I would debate all kinds of things. But Fox News discovered, and this isn't bragging, it's just a gift I've had since I've been a little kid. Fox News discovered very quickly that I was a formidable debater. And the reality is that after 10 years of being on Fox News Network and continually debating one person, but many times it would be Paul McGuire debating four people at once, or three people at once, or two people at once. Usually, and most often, it was Paul McGuire versus numerous people with the opposing point of view. And it was really funny in those early days, because at first I was an unknown quantity to them. I mean, they knew that I was the host of the Paul McGuire Report, a syndicated national radio program. But they didn't know me visually on television. And, you know, in those days, they would divide the screen into like four or five different smaller squares. And I would usually be at the bottom right-hand screen, picture of me talking, and then there would be four people to my side or above me. So it was obvious that there were four, you know, female and males who were debating against me all at once as I was aggressively challenging their positions. And what was funny is that they, you know, they were losing their tempers and yelling and blah, 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 blah. And they had me on because I stirred things up. And what was funny is that they would all be talking at once, but they would be losing the argument. And the reason they lost the argument is because, you know, not because I'm such a great, gifted, you know, person, blah, 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 blah. The reason they would all, the fact was I never lost a debate on any of these networks. The closest I came to losing was a tie. And that's the first time I was out of the gate debating a super liberal, egocentric, leftist radio talk show host out of San Francisco. I went into the studio to debate him. Okay. And I committed the mistake that we can all commit. I was somewhat proud of my debating skills, so I didn't think it was necessary to prepare heavily. Big mistake. Pride comes before a fall. I didn't lose the debate against him, but it was a tie. And it was hard for him to earn his tie. But I knew I could have done a lot better. Because I went in there and didn't do the extra that I normally demanded of myself. So what I did after that is I watched every recording I could find of all this guy's appearances on Fox News and some of the other big networks, and I would watch his tricks, his style, his strategy, just like, you know, prize fighters in boxing would watch videos of their competition. So when they stepped in the ring to go against their competition, they could take them down because they memorized thousands of hours of video of how they fought in the ring. Well, I started making a habit of at least reviewing to some degree people like the guy that we came up at a tie. So I watched his techniques and I was laughing with my wife because she was very helpful in teaching me because of her professional background. She had a very heightened perception of these things. And we were laughing because it should have been a slam dunk that I had won the debate, but I didn't properly study his techniques. And so we were on, because there were so many fireworks in the debate we had, we were invited back on again relatively soon afterwards. And this time I had studied his techniques. I knew when he was going to deliver his knockout punch and stuff. And so let me just summarize how the debate ended. I boxed him in verbally. I roped him down, kind of like cattle, so he couldn't move anywhere because I used logic, reason, and I memorized the facts. And he couldn't go anywhere because he was all bravado and emotion, and I was all facts. And so what happened was he got so upset and so freaked out on camera, and this is the golden rule. You're not supposed to do this on camera. So he loses it on camera, live, before the nation. He loses it because he gives up. He's totally frustrated that he's losing. And every trick that he's trying to pull doesn't work. And he's losing it. And he's losing it before the whole nation. So the next thing he does with millions of Americans watching is he takes his headphones, he rips his headphones off violently, And then he throws his headphones like across the room, scattering them across the floor, looking like a total idiot. Because when you lose it that bad, you're saying you're not prepared. You lost. So these debates would go on constantly, and I won every single debate I was involved in, only because I didn't give up. I didn't buy into this fake Christian, you know. I didn't confuse speaking the truth in love with my job, which is to win the debate. And the bottom line is, I studied the facts. Even if I had to stay up to 3 a.m, I memorized the facts, the data, the content, the opposing points, et cetera, et cetera. I knew the issue inside and outside, backwards and forwards. And so I won. And this is not about bragging. This is something I'm trying to communicate with you, that you could communicate to your children and grandchildren and to yourself, etc. You know, I wanted to be a nuclear physicist when I was a young boy, or an oceanographer, or a rocket scientist. So I read every biography of every scientist inventor there was. I read every book on science and technology that I could get my hands on, all at the public library. And then I read every book on science fiction by the great science fiction writers I could get my hands on. And so I remember Thomas Alva Edison, the inventor of the light bulb and phonograph and other things, saying that genius, Edison said, is 99% perspiration and 1% inspiration. So what Edison, the inventor of the light bulb, was saying is that, hey, you want to be a genius? That's great. Be prepared to study, work your behind off, and learn your stuff. And be prepared to pull all-nighters and sweat and work and toil till you've nailed it. Because then he said, because genius is not that big of a deal, he was saying. If you're willing to put in the 99% of blood, sweat, and tears, and not just rely on the fun stuff, which is 1% inspiration, you're going to be an inventor. They'll call you a genius. So that principle applies to you, me, your children, your grandchildren, any job you have, any field you have. See, I was willing to get my hands dirty. I was willing to study all night. Why? Because they were all well known in their fields, okay, of economics. I was, you know, they were the heads of major economic magazines, major periodicals, and economic experts, blah, 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 blah. My expertise was in different areas. So I had to study really hard to master my subject, but it paid off, and that's the whole point. So it was 10 years nonstop, and I never lost a debate. Now, there were some tough calls. I'm not saying that I didn't get smacked around. I'm not saying I didn't get embarrassed occasionally. Yeah, I did. That's part of it. But you can't go home to mommy crying. You just got to stay in there till you win. And that's something that's kind of off the cuff. But, you know, Christians in America especially, Christians all around the world, we have, as Christians, a reputation for being babies, for not doing our homework, for being lazy, for not staying up all night, for not putting in the blood, sweat, and tears so that we can win the arguments, so that we can win the culture, so that we can win people to Jesus. A lot of people in the evangelical culture want God to magically put his magic wand over their brain and magically download everything into their heads. It doesn't work that way. God blesses work. God does not bless stupidity, and he doesn't bless laziness. Okay, so if I was to talk about the fact that the CIA has been hiring journalists and clergy in their intelligence operations, I can guarantee you that I would be attacked. Even today, when the knowledge has been published far and wide. By the way, a whole report of this, when it first came out in 1996, Rolling Stone magazine published a massive report of this. And so if somebody challenged me on Fox or whatever, no big deal. I don't have to get uptight. I don't have to get mad. I simply say, you know, let's say the person says, you're a nut. You're a conspiracy theorist. You're one of these crazy evangelical Christians who believe in anything. I would politely interrupt them, politely but firmly interrupt them. I'd say, excuse me. We've heard you talk. It's my turn. So now I'm going to speak. First of all, your main statement that I'm a conspiracy theorist and I don't know the facts is entirely false. Let's look at the facts. And then I'd call them by name because I'm preparing to drop them on national television. And then I would say, according to the official U.S. government hearing that occurred before the Select Committee on Intelligence of the United States Senate at the 104th Congress, second session, that was entitled The CIA's Use of Journalists and Clergy in Intelligence Operations, July 17th, 1996. And I say right there, now that's just one source. If you'd like, I'll read you numerous other sources. But according to a hearing by the U.S. Senate, the CIA themselves have gone on record admitting that they employed for several decades hundreds and, in some cases, thousands of journalists, clergy, media people, actors, directors, they use them in their intelligence operations. So your accusation against me that what I'm saying is false, that indeed is false, because I'm speaking to you based on the foundation of written documentation and facts in which the CIA themselves admit that they have been using journalists and clergymen for decades. And then, you know, the guy has egg on his face. The guy, he's painted himself into the corner. He's put a dunce cap on himself in the corner of the classroom, and he's facing the wall because he's an idiot. And see, the only reason I could win and he lost is because he was too proud to do his homework. And so when you study this report, you study that the CIA, using the highest, most prestigious magazines, major film studios, major networks, major stars, major superstars, major newspapers, the biggest media in any venue, was under the total control of the CIA, including clergymen, okay, the big ones. They were under the total control of the CIA, and this entire secret operation, which I'm looking at in writing, it's not fictitious, was also known as Operation Paperclip. So the CIA, when it has a secret operation, the secret operation has a code name. So the CIA's secret operation using large numbers of people in the media and television and music and film, et cetera, and news and journalists, this CIA special operation was known as Operation Mockingbird. Now, when you read, if you want to dig into a good source, I quote a lot about this in my book, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World, that you get for a discount at paulmcguire.us. But when you study this government report, they admit that they were doing this. Now, you know, I'm not going to call the CIA liars. I don't think it's very wise of me to do that. But what they have said is that they have discontinued Operation Mockingbird. Well, I'll leave that up to you. And, you know, heavy hitters were in this hearing. J. Robert Kennedy, Arlen Specter, John Glenn, Bob Graham, John F. Kerry, Connie Mack, K. Bailey Hutchinson, Richard Lugar, and a lot of others. I just named a few. And they were involved in this secret operation. And this involved movie directors and the feature films that they made. It involved journalists. It involved like journalists doing scientific reports and scientific studies. One of the Pulitzer Prize winning people behind the Watergate conspiracy, his name escaped me for the moment, but he also did an exhaustive journalistic article on the CIA's Operation Mockingbird that was prominently published in Rolling Stone magazine, giving the names of the heads of studios, major directors, major actors, major musicians. I mean, this was, and some people say it still is, a massive, massive operation. Now, it's not just this report or the other prominent article. There have been thousands of reports, and that number increases each year. So, we are now, like I said earlier, we're in the future, 2022. And so, I want you to think with me for a moment about the zillions of news stories, journalistic, so-called journalistic stories you've seen on mainstream media, television, cable news networks, episodic TV, rock bands, country bands, pop bands, magazines, internet websites, news stories, authors, you know, expert witnesses, experts, politicians, scientists, on and on and on. All of these different so-called experts, imagine as if they were a gigantic, imagine that little square pictures that move. Each one is its own moving television set with audio and video. And imagine you put them up on a map, like the entire wall of a high school auditorium, the longer side, and you see this massive electronic tapestry of little squares, and what the little squares are, each one is a separate electronic TV set with a separate guest expert talking and talking about things like the coronavirus, the coronavirus vaccine, laws, the economy, et cetera, et cetera. And they're all talking at once. So it's a babel of confusion, like the Tower of Babel. The word Babel comes from the ancient word Babel. And Babel means that people are talking over one another, so their words sound like they're babbling. It's incoherent. They're tripping over each other by talking over each other. Well, that's what we have with the mainstream media. Now, when you've been listening to the Paul McGuire Report, and if you didn't catch these shows, if you go back in the last 2-3 weeks, you'll see I've done a number of like emergency alert, Paul McGuire prophetic emergency alert programs. And these are very important programs. You can go to paulmcguire.us, pick Rumble or Brighteon or whatever one you want to find it on. And you can replay that for you at paulmcguire.us. And what you will notice is I've been laying the factual, documented groundwork for why the mass media in America and the world is controlled by just all of that massive tapestry of media. is controlled by just 12 international banking families who own and totally control all of the media, all of the major media in the USA and the world. And I reported to you on that with facts and documentation. And you can hear this for free in the archives. We don't charge at paulmcguire.us. And then I also did programs where I talked about, you know, the trail of money, follow the money. And I talked out and I mapped out for you the economic fact that all of the world's money, all of the world's assets, investments, banks, financial firms, multinational corporations, pharmaceutical giants, governments, the entire global monetary system is totally owned and controlled by just two companies. I have debated on thousands of economic programs, and I have never heard anybody tell the truth about that. So, before we talk about the fact that just two economic giant financial banking companies control and own all the wealth in the world, we first have to remind ourselves that those two massive financial conglomerates are all owned by just 12 of the most powerful international banking families and international super capitalist rich people in the world. So what it comes down to is this. Think of a pyramidal structure flowchart. At the very top, there are the mysterious 12 international banking families. I have them printed out. I discussed this in my brand new book that you can pre-order, Power from On High. You can pre-order it now at paulmcguire.us, and I talk about it in other books if you go to paulmcguire.us, who the international banking companies are. And I talk about the fact that these international banking families use just two, that's right, just two giant financial banking corporations to control the entire world's economic system. The name of the two giant financial corporations the super rich use are, number one, Vanguard, number two, BlackRock, or I should probably say BlackRock first, Vanguard second. And then underneath Vanguard and BlackRock are, you know, other major banks, the Federal Reserve, global corporations, globalist corporations, the richest companies and the richest people in the world. And so when you analyze the whole thing, what it comes down to is this: 99% of the world's wealth and assets are owned and controlled by just 12 of the super capitalist, super rich international banking families. So just 1% of the population of planet Earth, the super rich, that constitute 1% of the wealth, they own 99% of all the world's wealth. And thus, they have a total lockdown, total control, total domination of people's minds, the information, the content, the medical reports, the economic reports, everything that goes into people's brains is under the total control of these two massive corporations and all the corporations they own. And so it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that these 12 super rich families, they're the primary owners of all the big pharmaceutical companies, the people that made the vaccine. Okay? They own the big pharma. They own the big medical companies. And so they're in control of all of the flow of information. So you ask me, is Operation Mockingbird still alive and well? I'm not going to answer the question for you. Because you've been given a brain, you have to use it. The simple laws of rational deduction should reveal to you very quickly whether or not something to the effect of Operation Mockingbird still exists. And whether it exists or not, the fact remains is that the total control of the flow of information, facts, propaganda, or whatever, is all controlled by just 12 international banking families. That means everything you hear about vaccinations, about variants, about second vaccinations, about medical treatments, all the emotions that are, you're being baptized in a million gallons of toxic emotions, getting you angry, upset, and despairing about the vaccination. But you need to go deeper than that, because knowledge is power. God has given you ownership of this country via the Pilgrims and Puritans. God has said to you and your loved ones, occupy until I come. That's an order, not a request. God has given you the authority, the dominion, the rulership to rule over your nation and your world. There are evil people in this world who have sold their souls for money. You would call that, I would call that biblically, the Babylonian system, part of ancient mystery Babylon. And they are using all their money and power, and they have a agenda that they're not hiding. It's not really hidden. It's kind of a secret agenda that's hidden in plain sight. They are using the fear of the vaccine, the fear of the vaccination, the fear of the variants to create their new world order, which they've rebranded the Great Reset. And they are using the Great Reset, the vaccinations, the treatments, the deaths, the fear, as a psychological warfare mechanism to drive people into kind of a medical totalitarian state where they're in permanent lockdown, social isolation, sensory deprivation, and it gives them an excuse, listen carefully, to loot the middle class and the working class. Because notice, if you look at diagrams of who is losing the most money due to COVID and the vaccinations, etc., it's not the employees of giant corporations. It's not the employees of government. The people who are losing the most money are the people who own their own independent businesses, the entrepreneurs. Those people are what are categorized as the working class and middle class. And the globalist elite want to destroy the working class and the middle class, because the working class and the middle class are a blockade, are a wall that blocks the overreach. It blocks the power grab of the global financial totalitarian globalist elite. And that's what's going on. They've been warning about this for decades. I have been warning about this in detail with facts and documentation in tons of books that I've written. They're all available for you to read and to get edified by going to paulmaguire.us, and they're on a financial discount. You can order them now. And you need to read my earlier books and then track with me right up to date, and you will see that I have spent my lifetime teaching people the Bible, which is the truth, and teaching people the truth about the coming one world economic system, one world religion, and one world government. which by the way, happens to be under another name, Mystery Babylon. Because when we go back to ancient Babylon, at the time of the Tower of Babel, ancient Babylon or Mystery Babylon was the world's first one-world economic system, one-world government, and one-world religion. Now, they're using vaccinations and fear as an energizing or driving force that will psychologically get people to beg to be vaccinated with a microchip implant, a nanochip implant, a biochip implant, or some kind of DNA implant. That gives the globalist elite total surveillance, total control, and a total planetary dictatorship that the Antichrist and the false prophet, as warned about in the book of Revelation, will rule and reign. My job and the job of other people is to help to prepare you victoriously for this. And you can do that. Help us spread the word on the new platforms we're on. Visit paulmaguire.us. That's paulmaguire.us. Take advantage of the free Roku channels, the free archives, the discounts on books, and all the other free resources we have for you. God bless you. This is Paul Maguire. Visit paulmaguire.us.